it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I'm Gene Bolduc, your host. I'm joined today by the famous singer, Dolores Bailey of Empowerment, Inc. We were just talking about her voice, her sexy, sexy voice, and how, you know, maybe her product is not what everybody thinks it is.
See, these hidden talents that I have, Gene.
That's right. Between the, last year I talked to Dolores Bailey on this program, and she came in, and you think you know people. That's what I'm going to say. You think you know people. And Dolores comes in and very casually tells me, and you can go back and listen to the program. It's on the archive.
I remember this.
And just very casually explains that she's been ziplining. And I have to say, that knocked me back a step right there. That was one of the more surprising developments in learning new things about people you already know. And here you are in one piece yet again. I should ask before we continue, is there anything you've done during 2017 other than just surviving the year in our current environment that is surprising or otherwise worthy of note that our listeners maybe would have to pull off the road to take in?
I have not done anything physically except for I got an opportunity to go to Martha's Vineyard this year. And that was a special for me. I've always wanted to do that. And I went kayaking.
Oh, wonderful.
And it was amazing.
Did you get turned over
the boat? That was my fear.
And I kept saying to the
woman, who's going to come rescue me if I turn over in this boat? She said, do not worry about it. You will not turn over. And I didn't. And I relaxed and enjoyed it. It was wonderful. It's wonderful.
Well, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think I went kayaking with our next door neighbors when I was a kid. The first thing that they taught me is what do you do when the boat turns over?
Because it's going to happen.
And they were teaching me how to do that. And I said, okay, I think I'm done with this. And we had a swimming pool in our backyard. So, I love swimming underwater. I just don't like doing it while I'm attached to a boat.
Exactly. And that was my question 10 minutes. Like, are you sure I'm not going to turn over? Can you see me? Will you come and get me?
Well, how do they know that's not going to happen? I mean, unless they have those things out to the side that would make it almost impossible.
I don't see how
they could know that.
I didn't turn over. That was all that mattered to me. And I had a wonderful time. I relaxed after. She said, I promise you won't turn over. And if you do, we'll come and get you. But you're not going to turn over.
We'll eventually come and get you.
In the deepest part of the lake. I was like, okay.
So you were in a lake. You weren't going down the rapids anywhere.
No, that's probably
the main reason,
I don't care. That's the best way to introduce kayaking to me.
I would definitely agree. I would have said our neighbors probably should have brought their kayak to my family's swimming pool where there's not much in the way of tide. But I think over still water like that, even in a gentle river, like through Boston, mm-hmm. where they do, where you have all those, the rowing and all that stuff, but it's calm, it's placid water. Those still waters run deep.
Yes, they do.
That's what I hear.
That's another song.
We're not going to go there because I think Dolores should sing. She's probably got a better than average singing voice.
Chapel Hill's not ready. They're not ready for me.
You don't think
yet,
culturally they're ready? Not even for a rap? Maybe a rap?
Definitely not a rap.
not from me, I can tell you. Although I have to say, I don't know why Martha's Vineyard reminds me of this, but I'm pretty good with a limerick. Mm. I know why Martha's Vineyard reminds me because they always start out with a man from Nantucket. Yeah, I do. It's a famous thing in my family that I will write a limerick in a hot minute. I could probably produce one
right now.
I just produce one. And, really limerick.
Challenge.
Okay, there it is. Hashtag limerick. And by the way, tweet us about your opinions about, Dolores. With the hashtag WCHL, or send me your thoughts about the program to at Gene Bolduc, and I will forward them to Dolores.
I look forward
for her to empower people with. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. I don't think I can. Maybe I can come up with one during the break. I would hate to slip out something that was inappropriate for the radio. And I would if it started with the man from Nantucket, who carried all his wine in a bucket. What he did was crazy. He was never lazy. But he said, take this bucket. And so then we can continue on.
I love it.
We can continue on from there.
Challenge met.
Okay,
there
thank you.
Go.
That was a lot of pressure. That was worse than kids' cue.
But the pressure was not to say the wrong word. That's the pressure.
That's right.
Thing.
That's the art in the form, I think. It's probably an art form that our current commander-in-chief could never meet. Which makes me even prouder of my achievement. So listen, just for fun, let's talk about
let's talk about
21 beautiful years of Empowerment Inc. You know, a lot of people, including me, think of EI as Emerald Isle, but for today, it's Empowerment Incorporated and a wonderful organization. Have you operated this organization from day one or just since I can remember?
I have not, actually. It started in 1996 with two MSW students from UNC, two Masters of Social Work students.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. One black and one white, and that is significant because the thing they set out to do was empower the neighborhood, the African-American neighborhoods mm-hmm. of Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and they were watching them deteriorate. And so the two of them, from the perspective of what can we do, mm-hmm. how can we help continue this wonderful place called Northside, this wonderful place called Pine Knolls, what can we do? And so they started with empowerment to work with the neighbors. They got into the just meeting with them on a regular basis, which had fallen off. And culturally, that is what our race has been about is history and talking with each other mm-hmm. and communicating and taking care of each other.
Right.
So they were able to organize community meetings. Mm-hmm. And they were able, and those still go on. We call them community outreach meetings. So mm-hmm. from 1996 until 2017, we are still having community outreach meetings. That's our way of touching each other and communicating with each other and understanding what's going on and sharing what's going on. So they started with the community outreach piece, but then they looked around at the housing situation in Northside. And mm-hmm. around that time, there were things falling into disrepair.
Right.
That led to the repairing and buying and selling, renovating homes, selling them back to low to moderately income people. So there's the housing piece.
Right.
In 2002, same kind of problems. One of the things I hope empowerment does is help people overcome the barriers that come to them at life. So housing was an issue. Communication was an issue. We took care of that with community organizing. Housing was an issue. We started renovating homes, selling them back to low to moderately income people. The next barrier was around those folk who had businesses. And have been operating those businesses out of their home or on the side or, you know, those kinds of things. So in 2002, we built the Midway Business Center.
Right.
That was an opportunity for minorities and women predominantly to be able to bring their businesses into a professional building.
Right.
Parking in the back, right there on the end of Franklin Street.
Right.
Crossing the street, you'd be in Carver, great location. But it, again, was about barriers.
Right.
Those barriers that those that women and minorities have when you're going to a bank and you're trying to get a loan or you're trying to get a...
And you don't have a commercial address.
Exactly.
And
you don't have a commercial landlord that takes a chance on you. When you say, I can do this, my business will grow.
Right.
So we created the incubator.
Right.
And it has always been about the community. When I came in 2002, I had the very distinct feeling that we were a part of Chapel Hill that people had forgotten about.
Right.
And in my head, it didn't make sense. So I was hoping that part of the awareness that I brought to people about empowerment was we are located down here in Northside, but mm-hmm. we are absolutely a part
Everywhere.
Of Chapel Hill.
Right.
And people need to remember.
And the county.
And the county.
We have, it's located in Chapel Hill,
exactly.
but it's about the entire county.
Right. And the problem for me had been I grew up with a woman who was an organizer, uh-huh. my aunt who I grew up with. We lived in a blended home. We lived in a home that had lots of people in it.
Yeah.
But we always helped each other, and we always helped neighbors. So in living on Graham Street in Chapel Hill and understanding community at that point, I didn't understand why the African-American community had kind of gone silent. And it wasn't that they had. It was that they were dealing with life. They were getting older. I didn't do empowerment. I didn't start empowerment. But empowerment did not start this community organizing. You know, there was Ms. Caldwell that was around.
Right.
The Lees were important.
Right.
I don't know if you remember Ed Caldwell, who was instrumental in, I'll never forget him coming before the town council and saying, you guys have to give us some relief because our community is being taken over by investors and developers.
Right. Right.
That's when we created the conservation district as a zoning tool. So Chapel Hill's African-American community has always been one of movement, has always been one of making things happen. Miss Velma Perry, who is still alive, major when I started at Empowerment as a community organizer. She used to tell me all the time what to do, and I listened. Miss Mary Norwood Jones, who has passed since, also. These were people who walked our neighborhood. These were people who cared about
and community. Knew everybody, right?
Absolutely.
First
Rebecca
name.
Clark.
Yeah.
All
oh, Rebecca
of the,
Clark. Oh, my goodness.
So all of
yeah.
these people that came before me, and I had the pleasure of following to try to keep that vision going. But that side, the west end of Chapel Hill, has always been rich in knowledge, in culture, in people. Never a shortage for a person using their voice. And as you can tell, I do not shy away from a mic.
No, she doesn't.
But it is about a way. I don't care. I do it proudly.
And you should.
It's about awareness, and it's about the next generation. We talked a little bit about that. I tried to raise my daughters who attended Chapel Hill Carborough Schools to want to be organizers and just maybe not be an organizer but understand what community is about.
Right.
I can never and will never forget. I'm unfortunately probably to my dying day will be trying to bring something and somebody together and connect resources. And now empowerment has switched a little bit from the home ownership to affordable rentals.
Mm-hmm.
In 2005, we realized and recognized nobody's paying attention to that.
Yeah, that's right.
So from 2005 to 2017, we now own 42 rental units throughout Orange County that go to average people and below average income folk.
Right.
Because we're not looking out for those people in Chapel
Hill. It's just a market that nobody's
tapped into,
climbing over anything to get to. And they need the support. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to get into that. That particular area, as you know, is very close to my heart. It's a mile deep about why it's so important for a variety of resources to be oriented around that target, because if it should be allowed to collapse on itself, it's terrible for everybody in many, many ways. And so with that uplifting thought, oh my goodness.
But there is progress.
Yes,
there is progress in the areas.
There is. There's a lot to talk about. So we're gonna come back and talk a little more about that. And thank goodness you're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back. Dolores and I were just talking about my advanced age and long marriage to my wonderful French husband who doesn't speak French. And it's hard to, it's a long story. That's why for you, dear listeners, we were away for only a moment, but really we've been talking for about 20 minutes about this topic. So anyway, we're back, Dolores. And we're talking about the 21st birthday of empowerment, which I guess means that empowerment can drink now, right?
Yes, we can.
You've come of age.
Absolutely.
This is a wonderful thing.
We've waited a long time for that. Yes.
So now you're kind of empowered, you might say.
I am.
You
I feel
are.
That way. I feel grown up. Yes.
Yeah. I feel that way about you, too. Only in the good way, not in the how old are you way. Because,
thank you.
Because the fact is, I don't know how Dolores does this. It's a little scary to even ask. But every time I see her, she looks about a year younger. I'm not sure how that works.
Only her hairdresser knows for sure.
Well, that's right. And, you know, really, you're talking about good material for blackmail, you know, hairdressers, makeup artists, these people. They should. That's why they make a lot of money.
Exactly.
They make some real money in Hollywood, I'm sure, these people, because, you know, they have really got.
They've got
the information that everybody wants to know. Anyway. So what we were talking about, as I think at least, one of the lesser known elements of Empowerment Incorporated, which is it sounds funny to say, but is actually about empowering people and about the people, not just getting them into housing, which is extremely important. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But the community organizing element of your organization, which is basically its founding chartered purpose.
It absolutely is. It makes no money for the organization. However, it is, to me, the most important part of empowerment. That is the piece that connects communities. It connects people. It connects resources. And it is that element that continues to, I say touch, and I don't want it to mean in a bad way, but we've got to continue to remember each other.
Right.
And care for each other. And in this age of being able to pick up our phones and text people,
right.
You forget to go knock on doors. You forget to, we're not all meeting at the church anymore.
Right.
We're not seeing each other walking down the street either.
Right, right.
So the community organizing piece of that, of what empowerment does, helps us continue to reach out and have folk reach back to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, will always be the founding block for empowerment.
Well, you know, I've had a couple of wonderful conversations with Quentin Harper, who I'm sure you know, about this. And we very much agree that I think in the last, I guess by my assessment, in the last 10 years, that we've gone around the bend a little bit with our love of technology and its ability to reach out, maybe in the bad way, and just reach out and touch other people in the most superficial way and say, oh, hey, there's an event on Saturday and whatever, and that you can get 25 people to acknowledge that they saw that. And then you think that means that 25 people are coming, and then you show up and there's four people there.
Right.
And it's just because they saw that, and in that moment they said, oh, yeah, I'll touch that like button and say, yeah, I'm interested in that. But then when it comes to actually turning out, it's hard to turn people out to events and to really engage them in taking actions. So when that it happens successfully, it's because people who are working on these causes really work it, and they work it with their physical work, with their presence, with knocking on doors, and with those actual literal outreach, you know, here's a hug for you, we're trying to help, kinds of techniques.
Right.
There's no replacement for those. And I think that our society, this is not a Chapel Hill thing, but I think that our society has had a moment here over maybe a decade's time where we've kind of fallen deeply in love with the convenience of smartphones and technology and our ability to spread messaging and get agreement on a superficial level and have mistaken that for relationships.
And my concern is that we will forget the techniques of developing relationships.
They can be lost.
I remember growing up, and our house was right across the street. We were on Barbie's Chapel Road, and every Sunday we'd have people come over after church for one reason or the other, and they always were at our table eating, and that was that was life.
Right.
But I look at my life now on Graham Street, and I think, I don't have that many visitors, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, because you've gotten used to it.
Yeah, and that is where I don't want us to go.
Right.
I do not want us to forget it's okay to visit. And we're not going to get depressing about this, but sometimes that's why folk are loners like they are. It's not intentional. It's just that we are not making the steps. So for me, again, when I began at Empowerment, it was about community organizing.
Right.
And for good or for bad, when I started in 2002, there used to be a multitude of folks standing up at the top of our street, at the top of Graham and Rosemary. My mom hated it because she could not get into her street. But they were communicating. Now, we have since changed all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've just come to Chapel Hill in the last 3 or 4 years and you ride past Rosemary and Graham Street, you don't see people standing out there.
Yeah.
But it's an element of community that we've lost, some good things and some bad things, but it's not there anymore. And it's difficult to speak with a student who's walking down their street just has left Rosemary Street and heading down to Nunn Street. They're not going to speak. Because they don't know us.
Right.
But 30 years ago, that's all we did. We sat on our porches and we said, hey, and we yelled at each other. And, you know, that was community.
Right.
It's changing.
And now you have to send a text to the person walking by, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And they look up immediately.
Give me your phone number so I can send you a text. And they have, this really cracked me up. There's technology that will allow you to see on your phone when there are people near you, and it will let you send messages to them like you could in a line of traffic, for example. If you wanted to say to the person, if you're stuck in a traffic jam, if you wanted to send a message to the person in the next car, even though you don't know who they are, if you see them on this proximity app, then you can send them a message. And, you know, I can understand that there could be circumstances in which that might be beneficial. But by and large, how I feel about it is I have a technology for that already. It's called rolling down the window.
Absolutely.
Hey, man.
You're going tires low.
You know, like.
Your gas cap's off. Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, I've often contemplated having a whiteboard in my car so that I can so that I can write a message on the whiteboard when we're passing someone who's driving like an idiot, and that I would write on the whiteboard, hang up your phone, you know, right?
But then I thought
I should just get pre-printed signs made because I see it so much and it's always the same thing. I see people, I'm really going off on a tangent here, but I've seen people driving on the highway at speed, I'm talking at 60 miles an hour and more, with their hands on the wheel and their cell phones in their hands, and I can see what they're watching. And what they're watching is a video or that they have somebody on FaceTime. And it is stunning to me that anybody would be so clueless as to think that they have control of their vehicle when they're doing that.
See, that's the difference of our generations, though. We absolutely know we didn't need one other thing to distract us while we were driving.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was, you know, when they put radios in cars, that was controversial for this reason. And by the way, they, you know, even though folks who are listening to this program might be driving, if you are and our entertainment is too much for you, please listen to us on chapelboro.com on demand.
There you go.
And come back to the program later on. But yeah, you know, we've gotten used to that, but that's because you can listen mostly and drive at the
but
same
Jean,
time.
But think about this. That's just the tip of what technology can do for young people now.
That's right.
That's just the tip. I cannot imagine in 10 years where that technology is going to be.
I mean, it's also true that friends of mine whose daughter is in the Peace Corps in the Philippines can talk to her and see her on a regular basis.
And that feels good.
For nothing.
And that feels good.
They're in a situation in their lives where, I mean, they need that.
Yeah.
This is their only child.
Absolutely.
And let me say again, she's in the Philippines. Not an easy place.
Well, we had to go back a little bit, we had a business in the Midway Business Center, a gentleman who created a device called Trackers. And you put the device on you. This was probably 7 or 8 years ago before all the technology that we have now.
Yeah.
And so if you were if you were doing the sleigh races in Alaska, the tracker would be on your body. It would tell your family where you were. It would tell the temperature.
So they could follow you.
Yes.
Your
it was that comforting piece of knowing my person is okay. It would also, you know, track the time and the miles you had gone and where you were. But it was the precursor to what we got now. It's just, you know, that comfort that you know he's all right or she's all right.
Yeah, exactly. In real time, too.
Yes.
Not like, oh, I'm so glad I got this letter. Now it's a week old. I wonder what's happening today.
Right.
Because that's right where your mind goes. Okay, well, my mind goes is to our sponsors and how wonderful they are for supporting our program. And so we're going to let them have a few words, and we're going to come back, talk some more with Dolores Bailey about Empowerment Incorporated and its wonderful work and how wonderful she is. But you already probably know a lot of that. We're going to tell you again, though, because we're going to tell you from an angle you never thought of, and we can't wait to find out what that is. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Please don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Dolores Bailey, who has assured me that everything I say about her that's flattering is making her blush. You're just going to have to take my word for it. It's true. It's the absolute truth.
Stop.
Well, you know, Dolores, there are just types of people in the community who give and give and give, and you're one of them. You're just going to have to take these compliments and, you know, let them roll off your back. Maybe you know what's really true.
I absolutely know what's true.
You know what's really true.
I know.
By the way, speaking of your wonderful service to the community, you're having a fundraiser that's coming up pretty soon. This program will air on October 29th.
And the fundraiser is actually November 11th.
November 11th, mm-hmm. So it's a little over a week away as the program airs. It's on Veterans Day for a reason.
Yes,
so please, I'm just going to yield the floor for a few minutes and let you tell everybody all about this, how to get involved in it, and whether or not we can get Ron Stutz in a dunking booth to raise a little money. That's what I want to know. Go right ahead. Let it rip.
So, Jean, let me tell you about the fundraiser. We are turning 21 years old. We're going to be at the Hampton Inn in Carrboro. They were very gracious and are platinum sponsors for our event, as is WCHL and Hickory Tavern. We are celebrating a couple of things. One of the things is we have been at this work for 21 years. The second piece of it is, unfortunately, we have lost a couple of real supporters for empowerment. One was Captain Andrew Malloy, who was a veteran from the Vietnam War. We lost Jacqueline Overton, who was a 30-plus year veteran at UNC. And we lost Estelle Mabry, who was a longtime resident of Northside and huge champion for all kinds of social causes. So we are going to honor them at this event by creating a utility fund. We're using the first initials of their last name, and it turns out to be MOM. So we will be creating and turning out a utility fund, which will help support folk who have issues with paying their utility bills,
right,
their rent bills. And I know in Chapel Hill, we like to pretend that there's no underbelly of Chapel Hill, but there is. And I won't call it the underbelly. There are people that really don't have, and there's a huge divide between the have and have-nots.
Right.
And part of Empowerment's mission is to empower those people. And we talked a little earlier, Jean, about how stability happens in the family.
Right. Right.
And so stability is a safe place to live. Empowerment tries to promote that with our affordable housing program. We own 42 rental units. They're always full. Yeah. We need more.
Do you maintain waiting lists? You must.
Yes,
for
we
those.
Do.
Yeah.
We do,
yeah.
Unfortunately. We petition the commissioners and the town councils and Carrboro all the time because there's not enough affordable rentals at the middle to low income level.
Right.
It's the working poor.
Right.
But working is the operative word.
Right.
They are working and cannot afford to live here.
Right.
So part of what this utility fund will do, and we're asking people to support us, BB&T has offered to seed into the account $5,000. And mm-hmm. so we're trying to match that $5,000
right.
that night. It will go to families living in all of Orange County. But it's an amazing amount of people who need and have a need. And that's where I call empowerment into existence, into the good things that we do that people may or may not know about. So along with the affordable rentals that we are
right.
currently managing, these are not necessarily our people that are in need. But I think if IFC has a fund that people can tap into when they have issues,
right.
as do several of the local churches,
mm-hmm.
and the need is still great.
Right.
And so we are excited because of the three people that we are honoring. And again, Andrew Malloy was a veteran of the Army and just a huge, huge supporter of empowerment. So it is, mm-hmm. and two of those people, Mr. Malloy and Jackie Overton, were at the fundraiser last year. So it's kind of a bittersweet new party that we're going to have, but we are going to party. And at that party, we are going to give away a 2015 Toyota RAV4.
Take that.
Yes. So we are asking for a minimum $100 donation, and your name will be entered into the drawing. So that night on November 11th, Saturday at the Hampton
Somebody's
Inn,
driving home a car.
9:45, we're going to do the drawing, and somebody's getting a
that
brand new
so
car.
That is so exciting.
It is exciting.
That is just going to be really a blast. And I hope somebody's going to do a little Facebook Live or something of that moment.
I'll see what young people we can find to do that.
Yeah, let's see if we can get somebody to do that. You know, maybe somebody has a cell phone.
And well, that's a thought. Maybe somebody might.
That's right.
And so we were talking on the radio earlier about with Ron about it and challenging him to come to the party with heels on.
Yeah.
I think he said no, but we may be able to convince him.
Well, you know, he said he was crazy about the jackets and jeans. I heard this on the radio as I was coming in to record my program, and I heard Ron Stutz say, yeah, jackets and jeans, but I don't know about the heels. And I said, did Ron Stutz just say on WCHL, I don't know about the heels? How did that happen?
He did say that.
So he's going to have to pay it forward. He's going to have to do something big for this fundraiser to wash that off, right?
I think so, Jean. Challenge.
I think he's going to have to wear some heels. Get some pictures taken.
You know what? We can get some. You know,
you could get some. Yeah. I think that's the photo op of all time for Chapel Hill.
I think so too. I woke up with Ron and he wears heels.
Oh. I smell t-shirts in the making right there. A couple of stilettos. I would just, you know, because, you know, you hear this expression all the time. I would pay money to see that. Well, folks, this might be your chance.
Come pay money to see Ron Stetson heels.
Yeah, just throw in an extra 20 and Ron will put on some heels and then maybe an extra 10 and some beads. And then he can start taking things off. That would be a whole other thing.
Gene.
Oh, my goodness.
You are brilliant.
This is a family program. We should just get right. But, you know, we talked about this in our half hour conversation before the program began I've been involved in affordable housing for some time and then also have been fortunate to help support the organization Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina. One of the things that that we know is that when you support wages and when you have a strong affordable housing portfolio in your community, it means that when you are in one of Chapel Hill's many, many, many wonderful restaurants, and when your children are in school and they have wonderful teachers and support staff, and when you're in the hospital and you have a wonderful, thoughtful, attentive CNA taking care of you.
And when you walk into the university and the yards and the grounds,
and the
are,
grounds
beautiful,
are beautiful.
And the floors are clean in each one of the buildings
that
you go into.
That's right. And all of the facility is maintained appropriately. All of these things have to do with affordable housing.
Absolutely.
We want the people who perform these services to live in this community because they're very valuable to the community. They can be better at their jobs if they live here too.
Right.
And if you allow housing to just keep getting priced out higher and higher and higher, then only very affluent people will live here. And, you know, I think there are some people who think that might be just fine with them, but they don't realize that if their house is on fire, they want the firefighter to be available. If they happen to be where I am, which is my district is covered by a volunteer fire department, mm-hmm. I depend on people being able to get to the firehouse and then get to my house. They're not there waiting all day for my house to be on fire.
Right.
So you need people to live in the community who don't necessarily make a ton of money and not necessarily getting rich being here. Nobody's suggesting that if you're a server in a restaurant, you ought to be, you know, making a fortune doing that. But you should be able to afford your housing and you should be able to afford your health insurance and so forth. And when you have an organization like yours, and these organizations, both through their provision of direct services and through advocacy, when you make it more viable for those families to earn a living wage and maybe only have 40 hours a week for each of the parents to have to work instead of 60 or 120.
Right.
For the family to work in order to afford their lives, then they can support their children better in school. They can be
Absolutely.
More involved in school life, and you're preventing child abuse when you do that. When you provide this support, you're helping stability for the family, and that's good for the community, and that's good for businesses.
Absolutely.
It's good for everybody.
We started this with saying, I get embarrassed when people talk about me. But I wish if people would talk about Dolores Bailey and how wonderful she is or whatever adjective you use, you would remember.
Wonderful is good.
Okay. you would go from that to what's she doing and what is empowerment really about.
Right.
And, Jean, it is about that stability for families.
Right.
It's not I don't do it for the name. I do it because somebody has to help us.
Right.
Somebody has to be constantly on the grind for providing safe, affordable housing.
Right.
Someone has to be constantly on the ground about talking about living wage, that it takes two Orange County residents making $18 an hour to be able to afford fair market rent for an apartment. When we are talking about children going to school and parents who English is the second language not being able to advocate for their children, let alone an African-American family who cannot advocate for their children.
Oh, yeah.
It is about giving these resources. It is about empowering families in Orange County, North Carolina, to fend for themselves.
Right.
And as we smile because we said the name Dolores Bailey, it is not at all about that.
No.
It is a very dark picture behind that we've got to address.
Yeah, but see, when I think of Dolores Bailey, I think of that exact element, which is that you don't give up. You just don't quit.
You
know, you just keep coming back.
That's not an option.
And you know, we depend on Dolores Bailey and people like and people like Dolores Bailey. But I mean, it is empowerment. That's true. But you know, the community depends on that mindset, and we need to do a transfer of whatever that DNA is. And not in a literal sense, but in the sense of conveying those values to those who come behind. Because, as you described earlier, there were people who started empowerment. They passed the baton to you. Empowerment as an organization has grown. Its mission has remained pretty much at its core. But then always that succession is always part of your mission too.
Absolutely.
Because for heaven's sake, if you can't empower whoever comes behind you, wow, that would be a train wreck.
You've lost it. But
what were you doing?
That's the pretty thing about this though, because when the guys 21 years ago started empowerment, they didn't know who was coming behind them.
Right.
Nor did they care.
Yeah.
They did a
but
job.
But they knew somebody would.
They did.
And they made that possible.
Absolutely.
And we're going to come back in just a moment in our closing moments, and Dolores is going to tell us what's next. This is going to be very exciting, especially for us because, you know, well, it's always exciting talking to Dolores Bailey.
Thank you.
Here on 97.9 The Hill, WCHL. Don't you move. We're going to be right back. Okay, we're back in our closing moments. Why don't I have a two-hour show? WCHL, that's a good question, WCHL.
Who do I need to empower so that you can have a two-hour show?
You need to, I don't know, probably, you probably need to empower Nikki Morris with the correct amount of fine wine for me to have a two-hour program to cover everything that Dolores Bailey and I could cover. But in our closing moments, and we only have a couple of minutes, I want to talk to you about what we promised, which is what's next. And as we are unbelievably on the cusp.
Okay, I'd have said brink, but all right.
On the brink. Yes, we are on the brink in so many ways, Dolores. But we are on the brink of the holiday season, and I want to direct folks to how they can support empowerment with a holiday gift, and they're going to be able to do that. Do you have donations available through your website?
We absolutely do.
And the domain for your website is?
EmpowermentIncNC.org.
.org, yes. You know, because let me tell you, there's dot absolutely everything.
And it's always important that I know which one of those it is. It's .org.
Yeah, it's .org. And they can go to that, and they can click a donate button somewhere on that wonderful site. And
yes,
it will take them to a very safe, secure donation.
That
is it done through PayPal?
PayPal.
It is through PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
What a great product PayPal is.
I know. Don't they make their money, though?
Haven't they? Well, yeah, they do get a little piece. So if you're listening locally, I say this with love, PayPal. Don't punish me. if you're listening locally and you'd like to just write a check, don't make it out to Dolores Bailey.
Make it out to Empowerment and come visit.
And drop by. In person.
109 North Graham Street.
And meet people.
That would be great.
Who are people. Wouldn't that be a glorious thing? Or bring it to the fundraiser and do that.
Absolutely.
Or they could drop it in. Remember this. This is one of those Make America Great things. Again, they could mail it. There's a little truck. There's a little truck that comes to your house 6 days a week. It's unbelievable, the service level.
Red and white and blue?
Red, white, and blue, yeah. Little truck. And yeah. You have a little box, and you put a flag up on it, and they just come right
and
up to the house.
And you put a thing called a stamp on it.
You put a stamp on it. And so for a 39-cent service
46.
Fee, it's 46. Are you kidding?
What, stamps cost?
No, that's what you should have bought those forever stamps several cycles ago, like I did.
Which have to be gone by now,
which
right?
Not mine, because I hardly, you know, I pay my bills electronically on the rare occasions I pay them. Anyway, you can do it, folks. Look them up on the internet, and you can drop a check in the mail.
You
really can. They'll
accept
it.
And we'd love a visit. Come and knock
on
our door.
But you would love a visit a little more. That's the truth. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Jane.
Always a joy. And you have a wonderful fundraiser and raise a lot of money and get Ron Stutz to do embarrassing things. I can't wait to hear about it.
And I'll see you on Veterans Day,
November 11th. What happened? This is how it begins. These were the first symptoms, doctor. Oh, my goodness.
Jane, thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
Thanks for coming in. It's always a blast on the Water Cooler with Dolores. Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Follow Jane on Twitter at Jane Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.